In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the era to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
With Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona. On ABC Radio Australia.
Hola to our Fijian listeners and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy, the best place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinidar Arona and I've actually just got back from New Zealand in Hamilton. I'm joined here with my co-host, Sammy Wykes. And Sammy, you're going to have to carry us.
Mate, I thought
today.
You were looking tired. Man, I could see some bags under your eyes. Are you okay to continue on? Are we good here?
Just try and keep the energy up for me.
I've got you, brother.
For 50-something minutes, and we're going to carry our listeners and keep them engaged.
Do you know how I'm going to keep you engaged? Rugby union news. That's right. Mate. We're going to open up with Super Rugby Pacific Round 1. If that doesn't get you excited, I'm not here.
I just told you I come back from New Zealand and that was the only thing that was on the screens. Rugby union everywhere. I even got to watch the Highlanders play.
Love it, love it.
Draw or lose to the Moana Pacifica.
And we're going to deep dive into those games. We're going to dive into especially the Moana Pacific game and the draw one over there in Fiji. We do have the All-Stars week that happened, obviously the two games, so we'll unpack that. And our guest for this week, we've got a rugby star, former Fijian flyer, Titi Tella, the 5'8", and I really love how this guy played the game. We're going to talk about how he got into the Fijian draw side.
Yeah,
he
was part of the
inaugural team, but also his journey into the Flying Fijians and when they beat the Wallabies at the Rugby World Cup in 2023.
He was the starting 10
for that one. His nickname is The Answer. So
kick goals?
Kick goals, does everything.
Better than your cousin, Patrick Pellegrini?
No, I don't think he's got a better percentage than Pat. Anyway,
I've seen him miss a couple on the weekend.
But that's our show. We've got a big one, so make sure you stick around.
Moment of the week, Sammy. The NRL and NRLW All-Stars game where the New Zealand Maldives...
You're the new jet setter before we get into that.
New Zealand Maldives play the Indigenous All-Stars. And funny you say that, we went down to watch the Indigenous NRL team, the All-Stars team, do their captain's run. And
this is in Hamilton at Waikato Chiefs rugby team at their home ground.
In New Zealand. What's that? Just under 2 hour drive south of Auckland.
Auckland, yeah.
So I'm there watching captain's run and Josh Adakar runs out, sees me, and he's like, "Bro, you've got the best job, eh?"
The best job.
Just gave him a wink. Hey, someone's got a door, mate.
Paid holidays, my friend. Paid holidays.
Nah, it was cool to be there representing the RLPA and showing our support and love for the game. We know how important it is for our players and how the experience that they get throughout this whole week. So that 80 minutes of footy is actually a very small part of the week. You speak to every player that's in these camps. They speak about culture, connecting to their culture, and also engaging with the community. So I was honored to be able to go there and be a part of a youth summit that the New Zealand Māori Rugby League Board held at one of the local marais there. And going through the whole, all the traditional welcomings and, they sang their waiatas and 40 kids from both, they had a group from Townsville, Indigenous kids, and also the local New Zealand Māori kids, all a part of this youth summit and just promoting healthy lifestyle living. And that's what our game can bring. Yeah, it brings together the community.
What was the reaction from the people in that room after it was all presented?
You can see the cup was full, that sentence.
Yeah. Yep.
A lot of these kids having smiles on their faces, wanting to ask questions, going up and getting photos. And remember, we're in a small town just outside of Huntley as well. So these kids probably have never had this experience to be able to meet NRL and NRLW stars. To see the amount of families that were all there in that same room. You know, the coaches speak about how important this week has been for culture, connection, and then every player go up there and receive their jersey in front of their families. Yeah, it was a special moment and just one of those moments where, for me, very grateful to be in those spaces. So, yeah, just a great week. So the 80 minutes footy end up being a draw. Nico Hines, in the press conference after the game, he speaks about the importance of this game, importance of the week, shuts down any, you know, trying to...
Well, you look at the crowd. It was packed house.
Yeah, it was over 17,000.
I haven't seen Waikato Stadium that packed since Sonny Bill played in 2013 for the Chiefs.
One of the locals said that.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, I said, is it usually this busy? And he's like, nah, the last time was when...
And the Chiefs have been winning as well.
...won the grand final. But keep in mind, the Kiwis played the... Kangaroos there. He said that even that wasn't...
They didn't get the same.
No.
Wow.
But yeah, Nico speaks. Got some good words during his press conference.
Yeah, look, I'm glad you asked the question. There has to be a game. You know, there was all these experts or journalists or whoever you want to call them, whatever they do, calling for the game to be scrapped. It's run its time. But I did a press conference for the captain's call yesterday and there was two people in there asking us questions. Yeah. And I don't understand that, because why don't they come over here and spend a week here and come to the Madai, come and sit in our meetings or come and sit in a session when we talk in a circle, what it means to us and what it means to the Māori people. Come to the Jersey Prezzo. Last night we had the Jersey Prezzo and the room was packed. You couldn't even get a seat in there. We had to stand at the back of the players. That's because their parents and family come over for this game, because that's how much it means to them and their players and their family back home. And this game has been so, so much, and it's a rep jersey. And sometimes some players might not ever get a rep jersey again. And like, some experts might think it's just a trial game, but it's not to us and it's not to our people. People who are talking about it have no idea what it means. And until they know what it means, that's when they can talk about it.
Great work, T. I know that I always give you a lot of stick about going over to different countries just to try out the lattes. But you did an amazing job, man. So it's an unreal moment of the week.
Hi, I'm Ashley Vano from the PNG Orchids and North Queensland Cowboys, and you're listening to Nugent Footy.
Sammy, last week we said footy news.
It should be a 24-hour news channel.
For NRL.
For NRL, just for rugby league.
Give you a little bit of space, and then we just kick off with a bang. Payne-Huss going to the Rabbitohs, or sorry, Hakeem Huss now.
Yes,
Hakeem. Going to the Rabbitohs, and now...
All I've got is draws and results, and you've got all this other big entertaining stuff.
On the back of the All-Stars, we have the announcement of State of Origin being played in Auckland, New Zealand in the 2027 series.
Do you know what the big positive about this game is? Because it's going to be in Auckland at Eden Park, the famous Eden Park. Finally, we're going to see an Australian team win at Eden Park. That's the positive I'm taking away, because no rugby... Oh, no, the Brumbies did it last year, but no Wallaby side has won at Eden Park since 1987, I think it is. So,
I bet you there will be more Queenslander fans.
You reckon?
As well. Yeah. For some reason, all the Kiwis go for Queensland. I think it's just because they won eight in a row year and they all jumped on the...
Good news, though. You like the decision?
Yeah, I think when you look at our game and the expansion of the game and taking a game like that, State of Origin is the pinnacle.
Biggest game.
It's the biggest game, and taking it to New Zealand. And then on the back of that announcement, there has been an Origin eligibility shake-up. Sammy.
Woke up to the news this morning. Loved it.
This will...
Talk to us.
This will change the State of Origin worlds when we see some of these players get the opportunity to play. So to put it in simple words, they've changed the eligibility rules. If you do... Now, fit underneath these rules, you can play State of Origin regardless of what nation you represent. So usually, or previously, if you've played in for another Tier 1 nation, so England or New Zealand, you were not eligible to play for State of Origin. They have now changed that to these following rules. If you were born in New South Wales or Queensland... So there would have been players that have are playing for Kiwis or England, like, you know, Victor Radley.
Yes.
Being born in New South Wales, but can't play State of Origin. So if you're born in New South Wales or Queensland, you can now play.
So automatic tick automatic. If you're born. Yep, okay.
If the player lived in New South Wales or Queensland prior to their 13th birthday, you can play.
That's a game changer.
Yep. So all the, you know, if you were born in New Zealand and you played for the Kiwis, but then you also moved here before you, you know, your mum and dad, like me, brought me here when I was 10, 11 years old, you are now eligible to play.
So you would be eligible to play for New South Wales.
New South Wales, up the Blues.
Up the Blues. You weren't good enough. No,
the final one is...
Sorry, I just heard that. I just thought I'd slide it in there. Now keep going.
And the final one, if the player's father played State of Origin, you're also eligible to play State of Origin. So,
what means if your mother played State of Origin? Does that count too?
Yes. These rules also include NRLW.
How good.
Great question, Sammy.
I'll do it today.
But what I think this may, I'm hoping will help, is shifting some of the Pacific nations or the international eligibility rules. I'll use Cook Islands, for example. You cannot play for the Cook Islands unless your grandparents or parents are Cook Islands or are born in Cook Islands.
So you want, just correct me if I'm wrong here, you want the same eligibility rules applied in the international space?
Well, I'm thinking there's a lot of men there that their kids can't play for the Cook Islands because it would be their grandparents who were born in the Cook Islands.
Yes.
Now, if I'm a son of a Cook Island international rugby league player, I would love to play for, you know, that nation, that blood that goes through my body, something like the Cook Islands. But unfortunately, because of those that eligibility rule, they wouldn't be able to play.
So that rule, I'm with you. I think that's a great way to put it, and it should be applied because this protects the Pacific Island Journeys for generations to come, to make sure you still have a Pacific Champs where players are still putting their hand up to play for their country of heritage. So I think that's a great rule if that happens.
And do you know of any players where now this changes, you know, their thoughts or minds that they might want to go play for State of Origin now that they'll be eligible?
I think of the forward pack the front row for the Blues, if you've got Hakeem Huss and Adam Fanua Blake as your front row in pairing. And then I'm thinking if Cleary goes down, Isaiah Katoa comes into the 7 jersey.
Yes.
Because he was living here. No, he born in New Zealand, but lived here before the age of 13.
Okay. So he would now be, he's now eligible.
He's eligible.
Play for
the Blues because he came through the Penrith system.
Yep.
So that's what I'm thinking.
Got Brendan Nicotta as well. He plays for the Kiwis, but also now eligible to play for Queensland, I believe it is.
Okay. So who does this benefit more, do you think? Like on like not just at Origin level, but for even international level. I'm thinking of the Kiwis as well. But who do you think it benefits more?
Well, now we may see someone like Kalen Ponga, who stayed.
Oh, he can go now play for New Zealand.
For Australia, because its origin also is included. Now he can go play for New Zealand and still play for Queensland.
Oh, how good.
So I think it just opens up the game, and then we'll be there. Well, the game will be there next year in New Zealand. Now, Needham. And unfortunately, Sammy, this might even hold players to stay in league, then go to that wonderful game of rugby union.
I think you're absolutely right.
You know, someone like KP who would may have had the dream to play for the All Blacks.
Yes.
Now can play for the Kiwis, but
do you know what else is like when I think about it and all the announcements? I saw Peter Vlandis announce that there was going to be a $2 million player soon. You think about if it's a financial reason to go play rugby, you've got the salary cap going up. Now that they can play Origin and earn how much they get for Origin, and then they can still represent, you know, different countries. You know, if you play for Australia, you've gone to New Zealand now. It's unfortunately maybe for rugby, that could be the kick in the teeth.
Yep, yeah. And then during the launch, NRL launch last week, the CEO, Andrew Abdo, he was talking about global expansion and, you know, that vision, playing games.
Oh, so now you get to be Globetrotters as well.
Games in
so
Dubai,
that's not our selling point.
Playing games in Dubai and Japan, Vegas. Come on, Sammy, jump.
Where would you go? Quickly before we move on to the All-Stars game, where would you like to see round one played?
Round one played?
Yes.
Moody Beach, Rarotonga.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask, is that where...
Right on the water? Right next to the lagoon.
Oh, and on a serious note, though, if all the Pacific Islanders listening out there, this is a time to invest in your facilities. try and get as much money around it and build those facilities, because I would love to see a round one game somewhere there, because that would be fantastic.
Well, we better get to some rugby games before we wrap up and move to rugby union. But mention the All-Stars. Now, the men's game, NRL game, that was the Māori All-Stars 16 and the Indigenous All-Stars 16. So it was a draw, and the Māori All-Stars retained the Arthur Beetson trophy because they won last year. But I think the players, you know, looking at them after the game, they were a bit confused.
No golden point?
Not in this one. Okay. The other thing too, in regards to the game, it was quarters, four quarters, and it just felt real stop start.
Felt like Union did it.
Yeah. But what was entertaining was the women's game. Now that was the Indigenous All-Stars women's NRLW team. They had 20 versus the Māori All-Star women's 14. And that last try from Jada Taylor, she plays for the Cronulla Sharks, makes this break, beats about three defenders, sprints 80 metres to score the winning try for the girls. But very entertaining, some big hits. And yeah, I just thought that one was just that little bit more entertaining than the men's.
Yeah, good footy all around, T. We're going to get to
Kenny,
some more.
Sorry.
Oh, Keanu Kenny carved up.
He got the MVP.
Love
for
it.
NRL All-Stars game.
Nice, nice. Before we get to some of your predictions and some trial results, we forgot to mention some big news last week.
I know. We had too much rugby league last week.
Because this was huge. Because he's the OG. He's the OG.
He is. He is a very good friend. I would always remember him because he was a superstar at the Penrith Panthers.
Yeah, same position as well.
And he came to my 18th birthday party.
Did he?
In my backyard.
No, he didn't.
He just rocked up, and my mum was like, bro, Frank Pritchard's
here. Frank Pritchard's here. Oh, how good's that?
But yeah, Frankie Pritchard, he has been announced as the Fetu Samoan head coach for this year's World Cup. So huge congratulations. He is the man.
We'll get him on in very soon. He was away at a footy camp, so hopefully we'll get him on and we can get, you know, his immediate reactions around being the head coach.
Yeah. Frankie Pritchard, the man. Some games. Sammy, there were some trials over the weekend, and just a couple moments that, like I mentioned, I was in New Zealand, so there was barely any rugby league being played. Did manage to catch the Cowboys versus the Panthers, the start of it. Jeez,
are they looking the goods?
Shifting my mind a bit.
What are you telling me here after this?
Last week I had them in like the bottom three, but they did play the Panthers reserve grade. And I think it was like after 20, 30 minutes, it was like 40-0. But Jason Taumalolo, Tom Mikaele, they just ran right through.
Did they look connected? That's all I know. Did they look connected and organized?
Very connected, very fit, very fast.
Okay.
Another big moment. The Tigers winger, junior winger, Faletino Tavana, that finish in the corner.
He went on the outside of the post, or the corner post. How do you do that?
He switched his feet mid-air just so he could stay in the air and put the ball in the corner for a try.
It's a trial game and it's already try of the year.
In February. So he's a player to look out for. But we're going to get to my predictions. 14th for this week, I'm going to go off the Tigers. I'll start with the Tigers now. Bunty Afoa has joined them from the Warriors. He joins, think of this, about this pack off the back fence. Bunty Afoa, Royce Hunt, Terrell May. And then you've got Jerome Luai.
No thanks. That's all I'm saying. No thanks.
Jerome Luai looking to play six, I believe. So just takes away that responsibility of having to control, and he can just play that eyes up footy that he's best at. So I do love the attack for the Tigers, looking forward to watching the attack, but I want to see that grit. You know, that grit in defense that wins competitions. That's what I want to see this year. If they do get that, they will climb a bit higher.
Are they making the eight?
I'm still going to keep them out at 11th place. The Parramatta Eels, they've got PNG lock, Jack DeBellin joining them from the St. George Dragons. But big losses and some big time players. Zach Lomax, obviously going through his issue at the moment and hasn't found a club, or was going over to R360 before that got shut down. And then also Dylan Brown, who's made his way over to the Newcastle Knights. The thing that the Eels have is a young squad, and they are building to success. Do I think it's probably too early at the moment? Yes, And yeah, they may prove me wrong this year, but I've got them at 14th place.
14th?
14th. I've got them down there.
Really? Yeah.
Well, you look at the Tigers, the Eels. I just think when you lose a player like Dylan Brown, if Mitch Moses can stay fit this year, maybe they got a little, finish a little bit higher. But yeah, I just think they've got some good young players coming through, and they'll be, I say, 2-3 years away from being a successful
mate,
club.
Knowing our predictions, they're coming first then.
Yeah, awful. Like the Raiders last year. Penrith Panthers, Tom Ale, he joins from the Warriors, and they've had no major losses. So I think on the back of the year that they had last year, the way that – sorry, my phone's going off.
Can you put it on silent, mate? Sorry, you've got a brand new iPhone 17. You don't know how to put it on silent.
But the way that Ivan Cleary, the way that he managed that squad last year and the way that they end up finishing in the top four, I think they go one game better and get to that grand final. I've got them finishing second because you'll see in the next week or two who I've got at the top of the ladder. And the Sharkies, I'll finish with the Sharkies. They have no losses to their starting 17 this year. What they do have is a lot of players on their last year, their last contract, last year of their contracts. Players like Sione Katoa, Siosi Fatalakai, Braden Hamlin, Uele.
Well, so I reckon they're in for a big one then. You know what it's like in a contract year.
Speaking to players over
you've
there.
You've got to be playing good. I need to be re-signed.
Speaking to players there, they're like, this is the year. If there is any year, this has to be the year. So
ooh, watch these the Sharkies.
Boys step up. I've got them in the top four. And, you know, they'll be creeping up the top, but I'll put them at fourth for now. And that's me, Sammy, Rugby League. Always a lot to talk about. Let's head over to Super Rugby Round 1. What stood out for you, brother?
Yes, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Nation Footy with Tinira Arona and Sam Wykes, and we are about to start with Rugby Union Super Rugby kicked off over the weekend last week, and the big game that we're looking forward to, the Fijian draw versus the Moana Pacifica. Convincing win from Moana Pacifica, 40 points to 26 over in Fiji.
Looked hot.
Hot. Do you know what? Do you know the temp? What they were saying? I messaged my cousin Patrick. Said it got up to 40 degrees.
40 degrees.
100% humidity.
What does that mean? What's it?
As in, like, it feels like you're just going into the steam room. You've been into the steam room?
Yes, yep. So what would the humidity be here in Sydney at the moment?
I'll say we're probably at about
10%.
I actually don't know. Not as much as Fiji. But
steam room, we'll call it a steam room.
Steam room, it was a steam room over there. And one of the players that I said to really look out for is their number 8, Semisi Tupou-Tailoa. He scored their first try within the first 4 minutes. Moana Pacifica, they just got off to a hissing, an absolute hissing start. And, man, it was their main man.
The main man. Artie Savia.
No, not that main man. There's a new main man.
There
is a new sheriff in town.
Miracle Failangi.
Yeah, man. He was on fire. Three tries, man. Hat trick of tries.
So he scored three tries.
Yep.
Were they one of the, was it like Artie like tries where he just grinds and then gets over the line? Or were they?
There was one right near the line where he had a little bit of footwork to be able to get over on the left hand side. So he scored over there. A runaway try as well. So he showed his gas from about 30 meters out from the try line. And it was his second try, you know, it was just a very smart play from the Moana Pacifica Moor where they faked the Moor, but they chucked it over the top with him looping around.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
And he steamrolled over for a try. And to be honest, when I look at the two teams and I look at why Moana probably got the win here, they just look so much more organised compared to the Fijian Drua. Like, the reason why Miracle gets to score that second try probably from the line-out is around probably, I think it was four line-outs before that, they were doing mauls. And so they engage Fiji and Drua into painting the picture, painting that picture that they're going to go through them with the Moor. Then the time came, smart footy, chestnut checkers, set up for the Moor. They've all got their heads in, pop over the top. Miracle Failangi scores a try.
Going off your previous previews of both teams, does that game change your mind?
I was 100% wrong on all of it. So there you have it. The expert.
He will ask last week. You're like,
confident
I just,
as.
I just think when artists are missing someone like him,
it's a big hole. He's irreplaceable. And then you just get someone like Miracle Failangi. Yeah, kick back, Sam. I've got this. But
you're meant to be the expert here, mate.
Ah, mate.
You know what actually caught my eye? When I did put the TV on and I was watching, I might have been at the hotel at the time, but I actually missed hearing your voice because I was like, oh, Sam is commentating.
Actually, that's one thing that came true, though. I said the good luck charm being over there was going to be an issue if you got rid of him, and that's exactly what happened. I haven't lost him. I wasn't there.
There you go.
They lose. But we'll get to the draw now. Like, for me, watching them, they really looked disconnected in how they wanted to play. That was just my thoughts from the outside. They tried to get off to a fast start, but the Minor Pacifica just didn't allow them to get into any type of flow, any type of rhythm. And I feel like their skill execution, probably from their nines and their tens, you know, Isaac Fiennes, Kemal Valentini, just some of those passes just going behind them and just didn't allow their attack to get in any type of flow.
Have they missed any players from last year?
There's a fair few. Big names. Players, yeah. Youssef Omasi's not here. Celestino Ravutamanda's not there. Ikaneveri's not there.
They've gone to other
Japan and France. Yeah. But in saying that, they replaced them with some really handy players. So maybe that's what's missing as well, just time in the saddle together. Cohesion is a big stat. Vakatawa, the 12, like, he's a phenomenal 12. He's an individual talent. But, you know, I like when the 12s are involved in the organisation. Maybe there was too much responsibility on Kemal Valentini to organise and help direct the attack around. And probably what kept them in the game was just those moments of brilliance where Fiji score of tries that only Fijian players can do. And that's pretty much the only thing that kept them in the game.
Yep. With the draw next week, do you know who they're playing?
Draw's got the Waratahs this week.
At home or?
No, in Sydney, which is going to be a tough one, with the Waratahs coming off a very good win, and it's a six-day turnaround.
Because you know what it's like when you lose that first game. It's very important to respond because you don't want to get into this habit of losing the first one, losing the second one, and the pressure just builds.
Yep.
What do you think they need to do this week to beat the Tahs?
Well, they've got to flush it pretty quick, and they've got 6 days to do it. If they can get playing in the right parts of the field, I know it sounds simple, but man, there was times where it was 76 territory to Minor Pacifica. Minor had about 5 or 6 entries into the 22 compared to the draw. They didn't even get in there to even throw a punch and try and score some points. So if they can just get into those right parts of the field and play, their attack should fire and they can get some points off it.
And then Minor Pacifica, who have they got?
They've got the Hurricanes this week. Hurricanes, this is a Friday as well, so it's another short turnaround.
In Wellington,
at the Cake Tin. Again, this is probably a tough one because the Hurricanes are coming off a first round bye, so they're going to be fresh. You ever had a first round bye before?
I have. I can't remember exactly when, but I just remember the feeling because it's like that, your pre-season's one week longer.
I know.
It actually sucks because you're still doing conditioning drills when you should be preparing for a game.
I know. I'm with you. I hated the round one bye. And then what's even worse is a round two bye because you want it in the middle of the season.
Yeah. And looking at the other games, any players or games stand out to you?
Yeah, I think probably your men down south, the Highlanders.
Jamie Joe.
He got the win against the Crusaders, so, you know, defending champs.
They were underdogs too.
They were the underdogs, but they always call themselves the underdogs. I think we're going to hear very soon that Jamie Joe will be the All Blacks coach. That's what I'm hearing.
I know there was a lot of whispers before the game.
But one before we finish up, one player or two players I want to give a shout out to though. Clem Haloholo, number 6 for the Waratahs. He made his debut, scored on debut. Tupou Sopoanga looks after him.
Ah, okay.
So this kid doesn't have a deal beyond, I think it's a week-to-week trial.
I remember he might have posted him on his social media.
So he had a very good game. And our Cook Island friend, Jack Debrasini, who we had on the show last year, he came off the bench and I think he was probably the turning point and probably could be the key to unlocking the Waratahs' attack. Oof, because
big call.
Because of the fact that he's a ball player. They left their other ball player on there, Lawson Crichton. I just think it freed up their attack to them to play a little bit more expansive after being nice and direct early on in the game. So Dan McKellar, their head coach for the Waratahs, I think he's got a gem there with Jack Debrasini. If his forwards keep getting on the front foot like that, I think Jack can play in a dinner suit and just direct the traffic around and have Lawson Crichton there as well. And seem
speaking like a real coach over here.
There
mate.
We go, mate. So I think the Tars positive start, but let's get over to Teti Tala.
Tala Falava, it's Miracle Falangi here, and I'm listening to Nizian Footy.
Our guest for today, this man retired from professional rugby a couple of seasons ago, but his legacy in Fijian rugby history is firmly cemented. Foundation player for the Fijian Drua, and he was the starting fly half for the Flying Fijians when they had that historic victory over the Wallabies at the Rugby World Cup in 2023. Born in Levuka, family ties to Lau, nickname The Answer, and he joins us now here on Nizian Footy. Teti Tala, Dola Brass, welcome to Nizian Footy.
Bula mbula, Sammy. Thanks for having me.
All good.
Teti, I'll get straight to it. Super Rugby just kicked off, round one. Sammy last week, you know, gave a lot of raps to the Drua.
I did.
And I was in New Zealand and everyone was screaming at the TV. I looked over and it was because the Moana Pacifica took the lead and won the game. So what were your thoughts on the round one start. First game for the Drua?
Yeah, no, I think, as you said, they got off to quite a hot start. I think Moana, especially over there. So Drua, a bit late to the party, but they gave themselves a chance at the end, which they usually do, but I think just Moana, just wanted it more. I'll watch a couple of their trial games too. They've been playing really well and they've been building as well, quite well as a team. So, tough loss for us, but that's all right. Week one.
Mate, you nicknamed The Answer. If Glenn Jackson rings the phone, are you answering the SOS in season? Still good to go?
Oh, we'll see, Russ. We'll see. I've got my hands full over here at the moment, so... We'll see how we go.
Well, fair enough. At least you're still in good shape compared to our friend Nemanja Kundrani. He is definitely not making any comeback. But let's kick it off, man. Let's go back to April 2022 when the announcement of the Fijian Drua team was confirmed to be in Super Rugby. How much knowledge did you have of a Fijian side coming into Super Rugby?
Yeah, it's probably little to none. There was whispers 2021, I think after the All Blacks Fiji test over in New Zealand. There's a few whispers in camp around sort of that team coming on board. But, probably about 2 months before that was official was when I heard anything of it and it was going through. Funny enough, I was going through my Achilles rehab at the time. So, I was still probably 3 months post-surgery, so I didn't really think too much of it at the time, yeah.
And then what was your entry to the Drua and what was that process like?
Yeah, so I've got obviously got the call from management and that about joining the squad. I still had about 6 months left of my Achilles return and run. So they sort of took a punt on me, to be honest, coming back and at the ripe age of what would have been 32 or 33. I was fortunate enough that, they had a bit of trust in me and I pretty much got into the preseason with them but was pretty much off feet for a good 3 months of that. And then, just started finding my feet sort of early in the back into the preseason, before that season kicked off for us.
In regards to you growing up in Auckland, was the Fijian culture close to your upbringing?
Yeah, most definitely. We moved in with some family friends. So obviously there's a few Fijians in Auckland and I think even more now, but we stayed quite close to the community and I didn't speak much of English over there. So that's when I sort of started picking up the language. And funny enough, I played league when we first moved to Auckland. Didn't play in the union at all, so.
Makes sense why you're a good footy player, mate. You've got that league background, you make those tackles. But, speaking of that, like you've gone from a fan and the excitement of it to then the possibility of representing the Drua, like that cultural piece, reconnecting with the language and reconnecting back home. What were all the thoughts and feelings around that side as well as the rugby side of things?
Yeah, it was very sort of a 360 moment. Obviously, being born in Fiji and then having the opportunity to sort of get back into that environment, like you're saying, with the culture aspect and everything of it. Most of the boys obviously being from the island as well, most of that squad in that first year. So it was a very special time for me and especially when we went back to Fiji and just being around the family and everyone that was back there, still got heaps of family back there from, both mum and dad's side. So that was just, a bit surreal. All went pretty quick, but sort of sometimes you stop and think how special it was.
Can you explain the feeling of what day one was like when you think about when you walk into that first meeting and it has all your values or, how we're going to connect, how we're going to prepare for the season? you know, what was that like, that connection and the energy in the room?
Obviously, everyone a little bit nervous too, just meeting everyone. A lot of the boys, like I said, they came straight from the island, so I didn't know what to expect, but you could tell there was definitely sort of the passion there and a bit of excitement sort of building around.
One thing I know about the Fijian people is they love their sport, but more so their rugby union. And, you know, having their own team, the Drua, you know, what was the community like when that got announced?
Never really experienced anything like it before. Even, you know, compared to sort of the Flying Fijian side of things as well, the Drua obviously has got quite a big following. Very eye-opening experience for most of the boys and myself.
That's right. That first season, that's right. It was COVID, so you were based here in Australia, and then you got to go back for those two games, which were unbelievable games. I just want to touch on probably like the challenges and probably those the Islander moments that they have in camp. You know, they're sort of like where you've come from, say like a semi-professional, professional environment. You go, man, this is Fiji rugby. Like you just, it is what it is. Because I remember talking to Mick Byrne about one of the players. He was late to training once or because he didn't realise the schedule changed. The day off was a different day compared to the week before. So he just stayed on that schedule. What were the other moments like that where you just go, oh, man, this was a given when we're the Reds or whatever, but this is what has to be taught here at the Drua?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of that sort of, you know, technology that ties into a lot of our meetings and just the organisation around sort of how we function as a team. So it was either Facebook Messenger rather than checking their schedule at night. So a lot of them making calls back home, obviously, which is obviously touching base with the family and whatnot. Those were some of the sort of the teething issues that we sort of, you know, had to overcome and come through as a club.
I think of some of the games over in Fiji for the Drua, some of those home games, like my favourite one would have had to have been the Crusaders one where you guys got that victory. I think it was Kimmel Valentini, did he drop goal? I think it was, or penalty goal?
I think he kicked the winner.
Kicked the winner. The atmosphere and the energy in the crowd, and it was hard to explain that feeling. Like, as players, your first victory at home or those type of big victories against, you know, sides that have won titles, you know, what did that mean to you and your team to be able to celebrate those wins with your family, the friends, the crowd, and just inside the dressing sheds as a team?
It was... It's one of those moments because, everyone's been watching Super Rugby for years over in Fiji and obviously us as players as well. So sort of going out there and seeing the Crusaders jersey across from you, you sort of can't put words to it, but obviously getting the win as well was just something extra special. And like you're saying, it was sort of you couldn't really put words on how, you know, the boys were feeling in the sheds afterwards. Obviously there's a bit of excitement and plenty of carver, but I think just having all our family there and getting them to experience it as well. So sort of shows as well that, you know, anything sort of possible with the right team, the right mindset, and sort of having the right game plan as well. I think we went into that with a pretty good game plan from the get-go.
Just speaking about that moment, you know, you representing the Drua, what was, you know, when you look at your journey, what was your favourite moment in the Drua jersey?
To be honest, probably my first game. I debuted against the Rebels up at Sunshine Coast. That was our first win for the club as well. So that was pretty special to me to get on and come back from my rehab, about 9 months of rehab off the field, and been given that. I was given the early call because Caleb actually got injured in the first half. I was meant to get 20 minutes from my Achilles. It was my first game. So I went on at about 20 minutes in. So I played about 60, but that's all right. Sort of overcame that as well. A bit tired afterwards, but... to get the win against the Rebels was special because it was the first one for us.
Now that you've progressed from the Drua, you got to play for the Flying Fijians. You know, before we get to your debut games and what it meant to you to represent Fiji and your family, without the Drua, do you think you would have played for Fiji?
Be honest, probably not. It's like I said, after I got that injury in that New Zealand tour, it was sort of, I wasn't sure what I was going to do after that. I came back home, obviously got my daughter in Brisbane here as well. So sort of been able to spend time with her during that time. I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll just chill here and hang it up. But yeah, obviously again, that core was something that sort of rejuvenated the flame, I guess, and sort of got back into it.
Yeah, nice. And again, your debut game, you know, what was that like, that feeling to be able to put on that white jersey?
Yeah, it was a special feeling. It was actually against Tonga Waikiki over in Fiji for the PNC.
I didn't want to bring up the game.
No, it was very special. Another special moment to tick off for me. I played, you know, under-20s for Fiji back in 2011 during the World Cup, and to be given that opportunity with the senior team and with a lot of the cohort from the draw as well. A lot of us got our, you know, that was our first debut for putting on the white jumper. So it was a special time. I was in Suva and sort of had heaps of family there as well.
Speaking of your family, what was their reaction when, you know, you got to represent the Flying Fijians?
Yeah, no, you know, from the villages all the way, you know, across my dad's from Lau, which is a small island outside of Fiji, and we got heaps of messages from them and just heaps of support, and even from, you know, a lot of friends and cohorts over here in Australia, Brisbane, and just around the world, family in general. It was very special sort of getting those.
How many tickets did you need for the game? Did you have enough? And is that a big issue within, I guess, purely Fijian teams, you know, trying to get as many tickets as possible for the families?
Yeah, definitely. The player group chat goes off, you know, with everyone asking for tickets. So sort of first in, first serve, and hopefully you can get a few. It's about, 10 minimum, I think.
10 minimum. How good's that? How good. Let's go to the World Cup. 2023 World Cup. I believe Caleb Munster does his ACL. I guess it was all geared towards probably him maybe potentially starting at 10, but you get the nod, you get the call, you're the answer, you're coming up against the Wallabies. And firstly, what was it like to receive that call and you're going to get the keys to the castle here to be able to direct the team around?
I mean, unfortunate circumstances with Caleb going down, but, you know, I sort of thought that whenever that call would come, you know, I'd be ready. So we sort of were training together, and like I said, we were quite close off the field as well, so we sort of were pushing each other for that World Cup, and it was special to obviously get the keys as such. You know, big responsibility as a 10 in the halves playing within the likes of a Fijian team, just because you know that, you know, there's a fair bit of responsibility in regards to how you play and how you sort of marshal the boys around the field and give them directions.
We'll get to the game, but what was your emotions like and your feelings when you're walking out of the tunnel next to the Wallabies team, about to go and sing the national anthem? And, you know, I bet that you're just full of this, you know, special energy. What was that moment like for you?
Yeah, well, I had very special, actually. I had my brothers fly over from Australia to come watch that game as well. And, you know, a very close friend of ours, Samu Karebi's, you know, close family friend and just been around the Brisbane community for a long time as well. He was on the other side, probably dropped a tear walking out because, you know, it was a very special moment. Being in Australia and, you know, I call Brisbane home. And you know, just having a lot of guys across in that yellow jumper that I played against as well, or played with through my time here in Australia. So it was a very special moment. But I know, you know, I knew we had a good side, and we could definitely, you know, it was an upset. But I thought we had quite a strong team anyways going into that, for sure.
Well, I wouldn't call it an upset, because in the games leading up to it, you beat England, didn't you, in the lead-up game?
Yeah.
So it definitely wasn't an upset game. At what point in the game did you realise you had it won?
Oh, it's probably right at the back end. You know, like, they scored a couple of tries there with, I think, Mark in the corner and a couple of quick taps. That sort of got them back into the game. So it's probably not right till the end where we sort of made a few subs, and I think we had a penalty and sort of looked up at the clock and it was winding down, and, you know, we were pretty clear on the scoreboard for that. Yeah, from that, I didn't want to, you know, get too ahead of myself, but I sort of started taking it in then and sort of looking around at the crowd, and, yeah, it's quite a special time.
And that full-time whistle goes.
Yeah.
You know, what was that feeling like?
No, it's probably one of my highlights, to be honest, like, from a game point of view. In the white jumper is that game. I mean, playing against, like I said, being brought up here, played, you know, some Queensland schoolboys coming through school and that, and being able to, you know, go back and represent my home country, but also get a win against the Wallabies. I think first time in 60-odd years or
69 years.
Yeah, just a special moment for myself and obviously for the family and the whole country of Fiji. So, no special.
And did you keep that jersey, or did you go swap it for a Wallabies one?
Good story. So Carter Gordon, who's the 10 now at the Reds, obviously he's just come back from league. I played when he was sort of coming out of school. He was joined us at Queensland Country together. He was sort of the young guy coming up. And so I always had a bit of time for him. And you know, their campaign, the way it was going, he was pretty down. You could tell he was down after the game as well. He had his head down, and he came up to me after the change room, and I was thinking in my head, I'll keep this jersey. But he came up to me after and asked if we could swap. So I sort of said, oh, you know, that's all good. I'll give it to him at least. So I've got his Wallabies one. But I gave him my that jersey from that day just because, yeah, I could see it on his face. You know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, it was a tough moment for them, I think, as a team as well during that campaign. So I've got plenty of time for Carter, and obviously still chat to him because he's here in Brizzy too.
He's a great golfer as well, eh?
Very good golfer.
Yeah, so good.
Hey, when I think about the Wallabies and I think about the other Tier 1 nations, you think about the resources that they have compared to what our Pacific Island teams have. After that win, yeah, how proud did it make you feel to be Fijian?
Yeah, definitely proud, because I think it gives, you know, the next generation sort of that inspiration to, you know, aim higher than we did. And obviously we got to the quarters in that World Cup. But I think, no, not only for Fijians, I think for sort of the Pacific in general, Samoa, Tonga. I know Samoa's had a few big scalps against the Wallabies before as well, pre-World Cup and whatnot as well. So I think just giving the Pacific sort of that that inspiration that, you know, the right mentality, the right team, the right sort of coaching staff. But and obviously, yeah, with the right facilities and that, I think the draw was a massive help to that campaign just with the prep. And sort of how we came through Super Rugby, and it's sort of evident that we sort of took that into that next step up, which is obviously the international level.
It feels like over the last, you know, since that World Cup and over the last few years, the Drua have been, you know, climbing their way up to compete with those juggernauts. You know, where do you think is that last piece to be able to establish, you know, the Flying Fijians alongside those bigger nations?
I mean, probably consistency, and that comes from a lot of boys playing together and probably sticking together. You know, you sort of see now, and a lot of boys, you know, starting to go over to France and get these contracts probably after a year or two at the Drua. Probably give them, you know, 3-4 years together. I think you sort of start to really build those combinations, and happy for those boys too that do go over there, obviously making a bit of living for their families and back home in Fiji, and obviously making those decisions, tough decisions, but. Obviously decisions that have to be made. You know, rugby's only for so long, but I think just finding that consistency and keeping the solid group together, the core group, I would say, just to sort of take them through the next few years and obviously into the World Cup next year.
Top four World Cup next year, you reckon?
100%.
Definitely.
All right, I'm going to last question from me. Who are your top three Nijin players of all time? And given that you've first played rugby league, you can choose league and
union. Well, kick back is union through and through.
First, Sir Revy, just because I watched, you know, as a young fella growing up in Fiji, Sevens was huge, and, you know, that's all we watched. Moving over to Auckland, Rue Penny, supporting the Blues, it was just phenomenal. And, you know, everyone sort of knew when he came on the scene, how good he was. Love out there. And then three, league, Jared Hayne.
Yeah, that's a great good choices.
Yeah, I've loved watching, and such a skillful elite level athlete. So, yeah.
Nice. Well, you being a 10 as well, like you, especially defending off the scrum, and I see guys like Tui Sova, you know, like they're the type of players that I would hate to be tackling. For yourself, Who was the one player that you hated to probably be in front of for that contact?
Well, I played against Scotland, Sione Tupulotu, and when he came off, you knew you had to go low, but he's already pretty low himself, so it was probably at the ankles by the end of it. Most of the time, my head was in the dirt, but just had to throw my body in there, do my best.
Perfect. One last one from me, just from Fiji. You know, from who's worn that Flying Fijians jersey, who's the greatest ever Fijian player?
Greatest ever.
You can say yourself, that's all right.
Greatest ever, I think, sort of inspiring for me, obviously playing 10 as well. Nicky Little was, you know, he's not in that list that I said earlier, but definitely inspiring just to have a number 10 like himself and, you know, watching that 2007 World Cup just to see sort of how, you know, they went as a team and obviously Raul Looney, Moses at nine there. Sort of seeing that combination, just seeing how they sort of played and sort of the leadership that they had at that time. And Nicky still, you know, he still joins the team when they're on tour in the UK and whatnot as well. So, still having him around. And yeah, he's very, I think a very inspirational part and important part, I guess, in Fiji rugby.
Big Nicky Little, the long locks, used to love him as a 5'8 as well. But Dethi, man, it's been an absolute pleasure to sit and chat with you just about your journey. You have cemented yourself in history for Fiji and rugby. Your legacy will live on, and we wish you all the best for the future, and hopefully we get to cross paths again for a little cup of kava at some point.
Sounds good, Waxy. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Give me three answers for this one.
Sammy, where's the intro?
Oh, sorry, yes. Give me three. This is our game of categories. I was waiting for you, but you're looking down at your paper, checking your hard questions. But yes, this is our game of three. 3 points up for grabs each week. Whoever loses will buy the other person a jersey. Jersey of their choice. And the score is, 4 points to 3 to UT.
I'm up one.
You're up by one.
I've got an easy one for you.
Oh, here we go. Easy.
It's a memory game.
Oh,
not a spelling game, a memory game.
Yeah, memory's good. You're testing me here. For some reason, I can remember things from when I was like 7, when the people who hurt me back then. You hold on to those traumatic experiences. The hidings you got.
The emotional attachment you have
Ask me what I had for dinner last night. No clue, but here we go, T.
Well, I'm going off the back of the All-Stars.
Okay.
Now, the All-Stars started back in 2010. I spoke about Preston Campbell being one of the inaugural leaders.
I've got vivid memories of Wendell Saylor scoring in the corner.
Yeah, and then grabbing the corner post
and playing didgeridoo. Yeah.
So I'll stick with the All-Stars theme. Now, give me the last three locations of where the All-Stars were held. So 20, 25, 24, 23.
Oh, the last three locations. We've got to count 2026. That's the last three. No, Hamilton's got to be one.
No.
Okay. 25,
24,
23. I'm going none from three here.
No, yeah, you'll get one.
Oh, you reckon? Well, it doesn't have to be in that order. I can just throw them out there to you. Like, that doesn't even make sense. But anyway, for some reason, Townsville.
Townsville?
Townsville. Can I lock that one in?
Give me the year. Nah, Townsville locked in. 2024, they played in Townsville. Great work.
Yes! I'm feeling
generous today.
Okay.
Must be half asleep. Jet lagged.
And I've got 1 point. 2023.
That 2024, the Maldives one.
Maldives won that.
The Indigenous All-Stars won that. 22-14.
Parramatta Stadium.
That is correct.
Yes, I knew it. Do you know why I'm sort of what I'm piecing it together with? Where? When their new stadiums were built, because they gave those games to the new stadiums.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I'm piecing it with.
The Maldives won that one last year, 2025, 10-6 at Combat Stadium in Parramatta. So you've got Townsville, you've got Parramatta.
Two, right. I'm on fire.
Last one.
Ken.
Can you get a three from three, Sammy?
Can he get the triple?
Told you it'd be easy.
What's something that rhymes with triple? T's nipple. Can I get the T nipple triple? Here we go. Thinking. I'm just going to go with Newcastle.
Oh, come on, man.
Where was it?
Well, if you think All-Stars and you've got two Australian cities, towns.
It had to be in New Zealand
somewhere. It's obviously going to be in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And it was at Rotorua.
Oh, I wouldn't have got that.
The Indigenous All-Stars won that one, 28-24. And
That takes me to 5 points to 4. That's it.
See, we've already beaten our scores from last year.
Yeah, and it's tight at the moment, which is great.
Get the theme, mate.
Yeah, here we go.
Keep it nice and fun.
I love this energy. But see, what a fantastic show. That's all we have time for today. Tell your footy-loving friends about Nisian Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcast or on the ABC Pacific website. And we'll catch you again next
Monday. Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.